Hello and welcome to the messiest podcast, Legends of Philadelphia. We're your host. I'm Tony. You can't do that on television, Trove. This is my schoolyard chum, Johnny Explains It All Zito. Joining us on engineering duties is Brian, salute your shorts, Bierman. You might be wondering, can I win fabulous prizes from these guys? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Zito and I have a lifestyle brand, South Fellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts. Lots of times, customers will tweet at us, why did you just dump slime on my head? Or they want to know why we're wearing protective goggles.
Because of
all
the
slime. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for the new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you.
Damn.
Damn.
A lot of Nickelodeon references level. This week.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I love Double Dutch. I was never good at it, but I like watching people do it, the jump ropes. We had in Philly is the Double Dutch bus. I'm sure we'll get into it, but
I think this is good news, Bierman, but this episode is not about Double Dutch. It's about Double Dare.
Let me tell you about making this joke. Keep it going.
I send the script.
I'll edit it out, but can we just do Double Dutch so I don't look like an idiot?
Yeah, let's improv something.
Well, how much you got on Double Dutch?
I wrote a whole paper. I'm doubling down on Double Dutch. We're doing it. I don't care.
Sorry, man. I went balls to the wall on this episode. This is going to be a little bit longer than
usual. I interviewed eighth graders.
I went back in time and I talked to my 12-year-old self and I asked him what he thought of Double Dare. And you know what? He loved it. When Double Dare premiered in 1986, it became an instant kid-friendly sensation. Hosted by Mark Summers, the gag-soaked Nickelodeon game show aired in some form or another on the network until 1993.
I don't like the phrase gack-soaked.
Many remember that Double Dare was shot in front of a live studio audience at Nick's Studios in Orlando, Florida. However, it's a forgotten fact that Double Dare started sliming kids right here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, the ones I remember growing up was when they were in Orlando. Because I always wanted to go there.
Yeah, I think even when they started doing the reruns, you know, when they were rerunning the Philadelphia episodes, they still put the Nick Studio.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because the show was, we'll get into it, but the show was shot in Philadelphia for, I think, 2 years. And then it moved to New York for a minute. And then it moved to Orlando for 3 years. And then in 1993, they kind of stopped making new episodes. But the show reran till almost 2000.
Yeah, forever.
And so
they're all hits, and they're pretty much they're all the same anyway.
Yeah, you seen one episode of Double Dare, you seen them all.
they're gonna figure it out, or they're not. It's the struggle is what we really want.
I was watching some clips, and Bierman and I were talking about this, but it is anxiety inducing watching these kids do these contests. There's a lot of yelling.
It feels like they should just.
There's a lot of
I
mess.
I literally can't. I can't. Like, I watched two episodes and I couldn't watch any more of it. Like, it was. I can't. It was like making me like sweat now as a 33-year-old.
Some of the stuff was so gross.
I don't know if we would get. I don't know if we should get into it when it comes up in the script here, but I saw it as a kid at the convention center. Went with. My dad took me with longtime listener and my oldest friend, Al Bruno.
Notorious neat freak, Al Bruno. I can't imagine he liked slime that much.
It was difficult for him. It was difficult for him. We were pretty far back, so. No slime for us.
Was Mark Summers there?
Yeah, the whole crew was there. The whole crew was there. Harvey.
Robin,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's all of them. Yeah. I remember being a kid and staying up, not that late, but when Family Double Dare debuted, I remember it was almost prime time. It was like 7:30, 8 o'clock when it came on for the first time, because it's like it was like you know, it had the whole family, it had the adults and whatnot. So
your parents are done working.
Yeah.
It connects kid programming to adult programming.
Yeah, and there was something truly special family about getting to see, you know, adults be slimed alongside the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Landmark event.
It hurts adults, though.
It burns. It burns their skin.
It burns.
It's like that sound you can only hear if you're under a certain age. Slime burns if you're not under a certain age.
Yeah, exactly. There's also a game show from the 70s that's unrelated, hosted by Alex Trebek, that's called Double Dare.
I didn't know that until looking this stuff up either. It was only on for a year.
I was going to do that joke, but I was like, this is even... This will be even less funny.
It's in bad taste because Alex Trebek is no longer with us.
Thanks, Pierre.
No, it's a good taste because he can't hear. I'm not making fun of him. This is a fact.
I guess we'll just jump right into it because it's going to be, like I said, there's a lot of details to go over. This is a fun one.
A lot going on.
A lot going on with Double Dare. And I had to leave things out. There's a.
How to make the slime.
We're going to get into it. We're going to get into
it. Maybe wait. Just fast forward. All right.
In the mid-1980s, Nickelodeon was approached by production and consulting groups with the idea of doing a game show for children, a first for the network. Nickelodeon conducted focus groups and concluded that children enjoyed watching game shows with adults, but they did not have a game show targeted at their demographic. Trove and I, we talked about this a bunch. You know, the reality TV used to be game shows, and at a certain point, you just... You know, there's a whole audience you're leaving
out. Test your might.
test your might. Supermarket
test
sweep.
Test your wisdom. Test your might. Yeah.
You know, the other day at the store where it's open Thursday to Sunday, 12 to 5, Trove was over, and we were talking about Supermarket Sweep, and you were like, it's on Netflix, and this fucking lady turned around and was like, what?
She, like, I thought she was yelling at her kids.
She, like, freaked the fuck out.
She was so excited.
Oh, it was using it. I already forgot. But, she was like, what?
And I thought she was screaming at her kids. I thought she was...
Yeah, come by. Come by. Be weird to beer me. 12 to 5, Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, yell at Hunter.
Yell at Hunter. Don't have your order number ready.
So there's a whole audience, there's a whole demographic of people, kids out there that didn't have anything targeted towards them. So Dee LaDuc, Robert Mittenhall, Michael Klinghoffer, and Jeffrey Darby worked to develop a new form.
Rolls right off the
tongue. Those aren't real names. Those aren't real people.
Those definitely sound like aliases. They worked to develop a new format, basing it on a combination of trivia, truth or dare, and the board game Mousetrap. Double Dare was greenlit, and Nickelodeon announced its premiere on June 5th, 1986. So they went in and they were like, we're going to put a bunch of kids in a Rube Goldberg machine and get them all wet with slime.
Shake them up.
And
throw up.
The network was like, great, give us 65 episodes.
65.
There's $200.
2 weeks, give us 200 episodes.
Initial candidates to host the program included Soupy Sales, host of children's variety show in the 1950s and 60s, then comedian Dana Carvey, who was also strongly considered, but after Nickelodeon determined that Soupy Sales was too old for the role and Carvey was hired by Saturday Night Live, the search for a host fell to television warm-up comedian Mark Summers.
Television warm-up comedian? What a slight.
I guess that means I never really thought about this before, but I guess that means he would come out and warm up the live audience before
warm up the
before night like court
that. Before night court or whatever
that's what they do
right he gets everybody going
get him in a laughy mood.
I mean he does, so it makes sense, you know.
He's a high energy guy. I definitely I see why people would pay attention to him. The producers felt the way that Summers ended the game by leading into a commercial break was more professional, and so he was hired. It's all about that advertising.
Yeah, bada bing, bada
boom. If we had those kind of segues.
Yeah, he would be like, whoa, South Fellini opened 12 to 5 Thursday through Sunday with new designs every Wednesday and Friday on our Instagram. Wow. Rawr.
More nose gack after this. Because focus group showed that the audience thought he was more than 10 years younger than his actual age, Summers, who was 34 at the time, was asked by Nickelodeon not to mention his age publicly.
You're too old.
Sorry,
you
girl,
look too old.
Married. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't trust anyone over 30. That's the old Nickelodeon.
That's the old slogan.
Nick.
Don't trust 30-year-olds.
Yeah, trust anyone over 30.
A little dinosaur would say it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Orange elephant or something.
Yeah, very progressive, very progressive.
In need of an announcer, Double Dare producers were made aware of Philadelphia area radio host John Harvey, known as Harvey in the Mornings on WIOQ, local radio. Mm. I think his show had just ended.
Stepping away from the Howard Stern world, yeah.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
He's making that you're right, it's that era, it's that transition, and he's definitely a goofier kind of guy, and it was trending in a different direction. So they picked him up for children's programming. Production originated at the studios of PBS affiliate WHYY-TV in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WHYY offered Nickelodeon their newly opened production wing to use, and Nickelodeon felt Philadelphia was a better location to initially produce Double Dare because of its lower production costs instead of cities like New York or Los Angeles, where national television production is more common.
Yeah. We're cheaper.
Yeah, there's kids like me and Al Bruno lining up to be slimed.
I know, they got
$20.
They were like, I never really thought about it, but it's like a bunch of kids from North Philly and South Philly just getting like hit in the face with pies.
The convention center.
I'm like, why do I love this show? Everyone, they speak my language. They all got that hoagie mouth accent.
Take us to this. Dad, take us to this.
The 65-episode first season was recorded in a 23-day period beginning September 18th, 1986. So 65
wow.
episodes in 23 days is grueling. That's insane.
Pumping them out.
Later this year, we should try that. We should try to record 60. We should try to record 66 in 23 days.
What is that? That's like three or four episodes a day, right?
Yeah.
No breaks.
No breaks.
They would just eat the leftover food from the physical challenges. It's a standing lunch.
Yeah, that ice cream.
They would just they'd sop it up and just reuse it. Yeah. Don't get it in your mouth. Don't get it in your ears.
Get
an ear infection.
And they did. We're going to get into that too.
They did.
James Fennigan and Byron Taylor created the original stage design for Double Dare. The design for the original series was inspired by a 1980s Italian postmodern style.
That's
a lot of glass brick walls and checkerboard patterns of yellow and pink. They were prominent aspects of the set design. Jeffrey Darby, who gave the direction for the set to look like a swimming pool, ended up saying that it looked more like a bathroom.
It was like the middle. It had like the glass, glass that's like foggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it called? The Memphis Group?
Yeah.
They were trying to look like?
Yeah, they're trying to look like the Memphis Group.
And when you see it, it was like, oh, it's like squiggles and like just very 80s, colorful, weird lines. And
like a trapper keeper.
And you're like, oh, I get it.
Like a trapper keeper.
Yeah.
It's for kids.
It's for kids. It captures their attention.
It's for kids.
At WHYY in Philadelphia, which is the PBS station, they had an epoxy television studio floor. It was poured, so it was very smooth, and you could roll cameras on it. The floor was supposed to be a lavender color for the set design, but the way they used to do it, because, you know, you can't just paint the floor all because other people are using other studios or other shows are using the studio, what they would do is lay down a liquid material that would dry and then could be stripped off. It was sort of like a liquid rubber or a liquid plastic. You could strip it all off and start over the next day. So it's an industrial coating, and they were supposed to have respirators and proper equipment to do this. But they just had some stagehands, and in this enclosed space, they were pouring this toxic material all over the floor, and everyone got sick and lightheaded. And so while they had intended to do it over and over again every day they were going to lay it, they just kind of laid it at the beginning of the week, and then they didn't rip it down to the end of the week.
Hmm. I guess it happens when you're trailblazing, I guess. You think it could be prevented, right?
One of the biggest concerns was...
I would probably go about it differently.
I don't know how else... No one else had ever done a messy game show like this. I don't know how else... They're trailblazing. There's no plan. They're making it up as they go along.
No one's ever thrown a pie at another person, ever.
It was invented on Nickelodeon in 1986. One of the biggest concerns was always how slippery the floor was, especially once it got whipped cream on it. Mm. On the first day of production, one of the cameramen fractured his leg during rehearsals.
This is why there's unions, you know?
They got stage hands playing with toxic epoxy cameramen slipping all over the place.
They had the rat out there and he got slimed.
So that cameraman, he worked for the remainder of the first season with his ankle taped up. They were a tight-knit crew.
Back to work. Yeah.
The set was always slippery and dangerous, so they used a lot of mops because there was no runoff drain to hose the things down. I guess, hindsight being 2020 and they had gotten to build something from scratch, they would have included drains. And then they would have just been able to, wash everything off at the end of the night. But instead, they built troughs.
Hose it down.
Instead, they built troughs in the front end of the set, and in between every break, they would take these giant squeegees and pull all the slime, whipped cream, gack, or cheese into these troughs. And then they would put these grates back over top of them, and they would kind of just, leave it there to collect and then to be disposed of later. Announcer John Harvey recalls, quote, "After a day under the hot lights, it smelled like death," end quote.
Oh.
Ew.
Oh, that's awful.
That's so gross. You know what he means, too. I mean, that's just awful.
Yeah, it's a dairy.
Yeah, the smell of any kind of, rotting food under heat, it's intense.
Should have used shaving cream.
It's all food. Mark Summers claims that after 65 episodes, the floors were so disgusting and diseased that anyone who touched the ground with their bare skin would break out in blisters or hives.
Oh, God.
That seems extreme, but I believe it.
Yeah, so apparently they had this epoxy floor that they were supposed to be able to, rip up and put back down, but when, the toxicity of that became apparent, they had this floor that they would roll and unroll, and then at the end of the week, I guess, they would just mop it or whatever.
So they're doing this at WHYY, so like fresh air is being produced, and they have the giant nose.
That's how blood. Terry Gross got her name.
That's how Terry Gross got her.
She's the model for the nose. She posed for that.
You're watching TV and they have like class action lawsuits about mesothelioma or whatever.
Yeah.
This just feels like it's were you ever on Double Dare in 1986 to 1989? You may be entitled to a small cash settlement.
A cash settlement. Yes.
This seems like this was a nightmare.
I just think it's funny that they did the Double Dare and these NPR programs are being produced in the same.
Yeah, they're talking about boring stuff. And this is like. How much whipped cream can you eat in 30 seconds, child?
These were their brand new studios, too. So they were like, yeah, oh, wow, a cable television show, game show for children? That's a great idea. children can win prizes and children are put front and center. PBS is all about that. Why don't you guys come on in and do your thing?
Yeah, it's like Bob Ross and like Kermit and like
yeah, all kinds of like Muppets and Mr. Rogers and then Double Dare.
Mm-hmm. And this.
Yeah.
Each team on the original Double Dare consisted of two children. One team wore blue uniforms while the other wore red. Each round begins with a toss-up physical challenge in which both teams compete. And the winning team receives both initial control of the round and money for each of their correct answers. After the toss-up, the host begins asking trivia questions of the team in control. Each correct answer earns them a monetary award and allows them to maintain control, while an incorrect answer or failure to respond within approximately 10 seconds turns control over to the opponents. However, the team can dare their opponent to answer the question, doubling its value. In response, the opponents can double dare for quadruple its original value.
Mm.
When the team in control...
Exceptionally hard question.
Yeah. When the team in control is challenged to a double dare, they have to either answer it or compete in a physical challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical challenges are, you know, those are the gross things we've been talking about. Physical challenges are often messy stunts that a team has to perform in a specified time, usually 20 to 30 seconds, although occasionally 10 or 15 seconds. All physical challenges on Double Dare were 30 seconds in length when they did the relaunch in 2000.
And that was like stuff like you had to like, the ones I was watching, it was like they blindfold one kid and give him a pair of cymbals. And the other kid has to throw an egg, and he has to smash the egg, but he can't in the cymbals, but he can't see. Or like there was
good.
Like
there's
like
torture they have device.
They have a cup on their head, and they have to pour it into
yeah.
a bucket on their
it was
partner's
a cup on their
head
heads,
until
yeah.
it crosses
yeah,
a line.
Or somebody has to like sponge water in the cup mm-hmm. in their head.
Or look for like we mentioned the nose. They bury flags up in this nose, and you got to reach up and find the flag.
Well, that's the that's
oh, is that the obstacle course?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The obstacle course. My bad, I got ahead.
Yeah,
of
it's like yeah. This is where it was freaking me out watching these things because like the one was like yeah, it was like the one. It's like all right, the little girl has a cup on her head and she has to play three instruments, and the other kid is on top of a ladder pouring a watering can in it. And then, but it's like, on your mark, get set, go. Okay, you got to play. Mark Summers is like screaming at these kids, like, all right, you got to play the trumpet. And the other kid's got, you got 30 seconds. Play the drum. And then it's like, I'm freaking out. Like, I don't know how these kids could, if I was on the show as a kid, I would be crying. Like,
some of these rules are very complicated. They're not as simple as we're making them out to be. Especially
because they don't want you to win that $40.
It went really far back then.
It's like I'm 8 years old. I don't need $20 this bad. Please stop yelling at me.
Really, really built up their self-esteem. The teams win money and retain control for completing the stunt. Otherwise, the money and control pass to their opponents. So, ask a question, dare, double dare. Physical challenge, win the physical challenge, keep the money. That's pretty much how it went. Many challenges have involved filling a container past a line with one variety of substances or another, including water, uncooked rice, green slime, whipped cream, and milk. Others involve catching a specific number of items before time runs out. For example, during the pies in the pants, a contestant has to catch a set number of pies in a pair of oversized clown pants with the specified time limit, while their teammate launches pies from a foot-operated catapult at the opposite end of the stage. So you couldn't just throw them. You had to catapult them.
Yeah.
The old pie in the pants. Yeah. Sounds pretty complicated.
The old
I would do
pants.
That one.
All right, we'll do that one.
We need the pants. I got the pies.
I got the pies.
The team with the highest score at the end of round two goes on to a bonus round, the obstacle course. From the original Double Dare through Double Dare 2000, both teams keep all the money they earned regardless of the outcome, which I think is really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nickelodeon. Yeah.
And this is like so complicated because it's like you have to know how to do eight games or eight things to win, like, you know, encyclopedias or whatever.
It's like Encyclopedia Britannica's.
Encyclopedias, boo.
Yeah.
I mean, when they were in Philadelphia, I think they were...
Space camp.
When they were in Philadelphia, they were just giving away stuff. But when they went to Orlando, they started doing trips to Orlando, trips to Universal, trips to space camp, that kind of stuff.
Space camp was the... That was sweeps week.
Yeah. In Philly, it was like something like a soft pretzel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Leave me alone. Here you go.
The course consists of 8 obstacles that have to be completed within 60 seconds. Each obstacle has an orange flag either at its end or hidden within it. One team member runs the first obstacle, then passes the flag to a partner who then moves to the second obstacle, and so on. The team continues to alternate in this manner until they have completed the course or until time expires. For safety reasons, team members are given helmets, elbow pads, and knee pads to wear while running the course. And boy, did they need them.
Yeah. They fall. These children fall a lot.
Like we said, the floor is super slippery.
What insurance company covered this? Like a Russian insurance company. Yeah,
they had to have signed something, right?
Yeah, you definitely. The kid's parents had to jump through hoops to get him on the show. Increasingly so as the show went on. Many obstacles have appeared in the course rotation, often based on body parts, food, and enlarged items found in daily life. Popular elements of the obstacle course have included the one-ton human hamster wheel, an oversized hamster wheel, picket, which is the giant human nose with the flag hidden inside, mm-hmm. my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Famous. Famous.
The Sunday slide, a chocolate-covered ramp leading to a playground slide with ice cream at the bottom, and the gumdrop, which required contestants to leap into a giant gumball machine filled with plastic balls and slide out through the dispensing hatch at the bottom.
I want one of those in my house. That thing looks fun.
Yeah, that one's the least messy.
I'll take that.
What a good prop. But this is a lot. I mean, as a kid, these kids are a lot. Like,
they had to build these things.
Kids are all like between 10 and 13 years old. I couldn't pay attention to anything at that age. I could hardly do 8 obstacles now. I have to break my day down into like 1 or 2 tasks at a time, kind of like thinking ahead like that. Yeah,
we know. Yeah, we know.
I just really impressive that these kids could get any of it done. And I guess that's why Mark Summers was yelling at them the whole time. Just trying to keep it moving.
You think we have to record like 8 more episodes today, kid? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like it's so stressful watching it. Like it's not fun. But as a kid, I was like, man,
I watch it as the adult now. I watch it as like Mark Summers, like trying to just like get his through his day.
Yeah, just like hurry up, go
when's
to the podium.
Lunch? I need a bagel.
You got 10 seconds. God damn it. The other thing is, so it's like, then you got to do this. And then it cuts to Harvey, and Harvey, like, says a commercial about whatever they're giving away. So it's like, in the middle of this, you have to hear 8 commercials.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
For, like, JVC Kaboom just... Box or whatever the fuck, like, you know,
Yeah, or a t-shirt shop that's open every Thursday.
No.
Sunday.
It's never that.
12 to 5, new designs. Every Wednesday and Friday on Instagram.
Yeah, and don't people hate that? Don't people hate when that happens? And you can't skip over it?
You can't skip over it.
Nope, no fast forward button back then. No skip intro.
I just want roller skates. Don't yell at me, adult man.
And then... You know, you're a kid and you're on TV. You know, here's this thing that you saw on TV. Now you're standing there in the studio. You know your image is going to be beamed out all over the world or whatever. You got to be like, your head's got to be swimming just to begin with. And then you're supposed to be answering trivia questions. You're supposed to be finding flags. This is a lot. This
I got
to
get
lot.
In shape.
It was exciting for me to watch it in like the last row, you know. I can't imagine being on the show.
Yeah, I know. You got to train for 8 weeks to get in shape to crawl through a giant ear full of earwax.
That's always my favorite part of American Ninja Warrior when they show you like the guy's training regimen and like, how he's jumping over cars and he's climbing up ropes that are on fire.
They build a thing in their garage that's
Then they get there and they lose on the first obstacle. They like jump right in the water. And then you're like,
this cost me. Something about it. Just, when you watch that kind of stuff, you're like, I could probably do that. I don't know.
I would have loved to have seen some training packages for these kids. I would have loved to have seen the skills they were practicing before they showed up.
Mom, I need a giant grilled cheese sandwich.
I need to train. Mom, please.
I need 10 cream pies today.
Why is your sister covered in slime?
The other thing is, which is funny to watch, is like, so it's just like two random kids who don't know each other.
Don't know each other.
And then it's just like, and then the one gets, like, you'll get it wrong, and you know, the other kid's like, you idiot. Like, why did I get paired with this idiot?
That never occurred to me that these kids didn't know each other. That never occurred to me.
Yeah, it's just like, God damn it. This kid's such an idiot.
I thought they were...
Can I have a kid with glasses?
Oh, everybody wants a kid with glasses during the trivia
round.
Yeah,
Bruno's
but...
partner. He's like, damn, I got Anthony.
Yeah. You need a nerd who's good at trivia, and then like a baseball player who can, you know, run through oil slicks or whatever.
You're right.
It's hard, but you don't know these kids, you know.
Uh-uh. You don't have any time to build up a team rapport.
Yeah, talent.
You don't build a rapport. Right. It's like Vietnam. Right. You have to. You're just like
just
stuck
like,
together.
It's just like the Vietnam conflict. Yeah. Right.
Double Dare is a lot like Vietnam. I've heard people say that before.
Yeah, and it's like they see each other 30 years ago, and they were like, "Man, that was some crazy times."
They're like, "Yeah, they're what do you call them? Foxhole brothers. They come out the other end, comrade in arms. They'll always remember their time in battle."
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I wake up, I still have nightmares about that giant nose.
They both got tattoos.
They got tattoos.
Yeah, I saw Cobra Kai. I know it's. I know you guys talk about.
One of the big concerns on the show was that they couldn't really use whipped cream or certain foodstuffs because it would break down in the time that it took to wheel out a giant cream pie. It could melt under the television lights. You don't know what kind of delays there are going to be before you get to certain physical challenges. You know, they set up for the whole day, but if there's only two physical challenges in the first game and the pie was the third thing, it's going to melt. So they couldn't really use whipped cream. And prop master Steve Pennypacker, friend of Tony Trove.
Steve Pennypacker?
Yeah. I didn't know if you knew that.
Whoa.
Your buddy is a legend. He's the prop master on...
I did not know that Steve Pennypacker... If you work in the TV, film, commercial world in Philadelphia, you know Steve Pennypacker. He's a legend. I got to assist him many times. I have an impression of him. Should I do it?
That's up to you, man. I
never heard him talk, but sure.
Yeah. Hey, Tone, don't touch that, Tone. All right, Tone, don't touch that.
Because you were touching it.
Yeah, I was doing something I probably wasn't supposed to do. But he was like a legend, yeah.
So prop master Steve Pennypacker found a product that commercial kitchens could buy called Baker's Cream. And it was like buying a carton of heavy cream. But if you whipped it up, it could become stiff. Depending on how long you whipped it, it could become very stiff and hold a shape. So this is what was used for everything from whipped cream pies to sundae slides. They would just put the food coloring in there to make it look like a scoop of chocolate or vanilla or strawberry. But it was always this kind of like baking cream. That's mostly what you saw these kids diving through.
You think it tasted good?
No.
Mm-mm. Nope. Nope.
I, as a kid, you probably don't even think about it. But as an adult,
that's really interesting.
As an adult, you would never touch that. You would never want to like put your hand in it or whatever. It's like a warm goo. You're like, you've learned over the course of your life not to touch warm goos.
I put my hand in warm goo all the time. I put my hand in three different warm goos today.
It's quite a hobby.
This is why the show's not on the air anymore.
One of the most memorable physical challenges involved a big tank full of baked beans. It was 10 foot long and 3 or 5 feet wide, and the tank was supposed to be a watertight pool, but it invariably leaked, and a company that would make that had made swimming pool liners was brought in to shore up the design. One time, they got the bright idea to fill the tank up with outdated government surplus baked beans.
Oh.
And they must have just, like, shot, like, a ton at once. Like, must have, like, had so many kids in that thing.
Oh.
Horrible.
So they had to go all over the city of Philadelphia to get big restaurant-sized cans of Heinz beans. Though it was mostly water, there was some pudding thrown in there for effect. And they got 25 episodes out of the baked beans.
Ew.
That's a whole week.
That's disgusting.
Uh-huh. That's a whole week. The end of the week comes, and they've been under the lights for you know, 5 days or whatever, sitting there day and night, stewing away.
Dozens of children swimming in them.
They have all kinds of Band-Aids and bacteria from the kids.
And this is that WHYY studio.
Sweat and tears. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is where they do car talk.
Car talk. Right, right. Car talk.
So it was so disgusting. Ultimately, the stagehands refused to clean it up. It was
they're like, I'm not doing this.
I might have laid down some toxic flooring, but I will not clean up baked beans and pudding.
No.
Well, it's like you sign up as being a stagehand to move lights, and then suddenly, like, it's this.
I didn't sign up for this.
They told them, they gave them buckets, and they said, take these buckets and scoop it out of there and carry it to, you know, the drain outside and get rid of it. And they were like, no, absolutely not. Steve Pennypacker hired a septic truck, parked it outside of 7th and Arch, and ran a big, long hose into the baked bean tank. After the grueling job... Yeah, they hired a septic truck.
Where did you get this information?
Bierman found a really great article from the AV Club that was an oral history, and it has interviews with Mark Summers. I'm leaving out tons of stuff. I was going to reference it at the end, but everyone should go check out. If you like this episode, you should go check out this article. Yeah, that's where all of the...
There's way more...
We had to leave stuff out. It's an incredibly long article. They have everybody. Mark Summers, Steve Harvey, Robin... Steve Pennypacker's interview.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Pennypacker's interview. I can't believe
it. Did I say
this.
Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey.
Did I say that?
No. John Harvey.
John Harvey.
Sorry. Steve Harvey. That's how he got his start. He was one of the kids.
Steve Harvey's a great host in his own right. Family Feud. Does a great job.
Steve Harvey ain't getting dumped with big
beans. He does New Year's too.
Steve Harvey would never in a million years go near that mess. You've seen his suits. He would never go near.
Come on, man.
He likes to dress nice.
He likes to make dirty jokes and dress
nice. I'm blown away that there's this there's an article about Steve Pennypacker doing this on 7th and Arch. Steve Pennypacker told me the best advice I've ever received was if you go to IKEA, get ice cream first, then you go get everything.
Then you have a snack for the walk.
Then you have a snack for the walk.
That's great advice.
That's like one of the best like showbiz tips.
That's just life advice.
That's great life advice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's some real.
You got that
there.
From Marlon Brando.
All my show business tips are like food related.
ice cream related.
Ice cream. Well, I guess it's like whatever. It's a not ice cream technically.
So these diseased baked beans needed to go somewhere. Steve Pennypacker hired a septic truck. They run a hose inside PBS studios. And after a grueling job, the septic technician bragged, quote, you guys know what I do for a living, right? This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, end quote.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
I really like Steve's approach to dealing with it, though.
Making it somebody else's problem.
Clean it up. Get it out of here. No, someone else's problem.
No, he hired a professional. That's the right way to do it. You can't ask a PA to get rid of toxic waste.
No, you can't. No. You can't flush tons of baked beans down the toilet.
We've tried. It doesn't work.
Yes, you're
they come back up.
We did our own little Mythbusters before this episode began. We like to have all the facts before we get started.
Yep.
That's disgusting.
That's definitely the filthiest physical challenge that they describe. It's
That's pretty funny,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's awful. As one might expect, the Double Dare obstacle course was not an entirely safe place. Despite the show's best efforts, at the beginning of every season, they had insurance people come to the set so they could show them every obstacle and how it worked, so that they could then sign off on it for safety reasons. So, a
like
lawyer...
these, like, uptight lawyers are like, so a kid picks boogers from this giant nose, and... That's right. That's right, sir. Okay.
And they signed off on that. Yeah. I can't understand why they would
sign. They said yes.
An insurance company. What is that? They didn't know their clients. They should just be like, you know what? This sounds like too much. We're good.
Did they have?
Like, that's what every insurance company should say.
No, we're good.
We're good.
Can't the kids just draw with, like, not pointy crayons, with, like, really blunt crayons?
They're like, I think you guys have any other TV shows that need insurance?
And did these lawyers have to run the course themselves? Did these guys in button up suits have to put on the helmets and the knee pads and go through the gumball machine or the Sunday slide? Yeah.
Probably.
Mark's yelling at them and they start crying.
I've had a lot of kids cried on.
I would cry. I was like sweating.
There's like all this like cut footage of children crying.
Yeah.
Mark Summers mentions in the article the AV. Oral history that it wasn't very often that kids cried, but when they did, it was towards the end of the show because they were like exhausted. And one kid
exhausted, yeah.
And one kid just lost it, even though he won the grand prize that week was like a trip to Orlando, and that's where he was from. So like he had traveled from Orlando cool. to Philadelphia for the recording, and then they were like, "You're going to Orlando Studios, Florida." And he was like, "Are you for real?"
Yeah, it's like. Like you want a trip to the Camden
Aquarium?
Aquarium, Zito. Here you go.
I'll go to Bethesda, Maryland. That's how desperate I am. Send me anywhere.
You should cut that. I don't want to talk shit on the Camden.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut that.
Thank you.
As the legend goes, only two kids ever got hurt on the obstacle course.
Oh no way!
That's what they say. The first kid.
Or is it like Disney where like they take him off the premises and then like now your leg is broken.
Yeah, they don't. Nobody actually dies at Disney World.
But the death rate of children in Center City went through the roof that year. They're just finding bodies on Fifth and Market. It must be a serial killer. All these kids are covered in green gack.
Yeah.
It's the killer's weird calling call. Calling card.
Yes.
No kids died, though.
No kids died. Two kids got hurt. The first kid, the parents lied. The contestants have to sign health forms. They have to get them signed by their parents. They have to get them signed by a doctor. It has to be, like, notarized.
So just,
a doctor.
He deserved it. The kid deserved it. Got it.
A doctor.
Well, I guess... you have to be
It's like now when you go to a doctor and you're just like, yeah, I'm... You're trying to get him to, like, prescribe you weed. He's like, I really want to go on Double Dare, but I can't come out and say that. is there, like, any... I'm trying to go on this game show. I'm anxious.
The kids had to prove that they didn't have any, you know, prior medical conditions, no heart conditions, no broken bones, nothing that they were hiding, no, you know, loose retinas, nothing like that. And
loose retinas.
Yeah.
Loose retinas. Can't be a jet fighter with any loose retinas. Can't be on Double Dare. It's the same rule.
Yeah. Many of the kids on Double Dare went on to be top military officials. So.
That's right.
Well, they were hardened. They were their souls were hardened by Double Dare.
So this one kid, he said no, he had never had broken bones. His parents forged his paperwork, and they went from obstacle one to obstacle two, and he slipped and fell, and the bone broke in his arm and went right through his skin. Compound fracture.
Oh, man. Ew. But why is it like he had rubber bones? Like he had one before. He could break another one.
Yeah, I guess apparently Mark Summers walked off the set because he said he was going to throw up. But it turned out the kid had broken 17 bones in his body over the course of his short life. So he was...
Oh, it's not their fault. It's he It was going to happen no matter what.
This is like young Mr. Glass. This is like Samuel L. Jackson Jr. kind of.
Wait, that was in Philly, young, though, right? We're not. We don't know that. We don't know this wasn't him, right?
Interesting.
It could be him. Yeah.
It could be him.
This was Mr. Glass's origin story. He lost on Double Dare, and he never got over it.
Never got to go to space camp.
And that's why he crashed that train. The second kid was a victim of the obstacle course called the sewer chute. And it was a ladder in a very narrow sort of plexiglass box, and the kid goes up one side and comes down the other side. But the kid coming down fell backwards, and it looked like he snapped his neck. After the fact, they found out that the kid's father was an attorney, and he came into the control room and he says, you know, I'll be happy not to sue you guys if you give my son the TV from obstacle course, from the obstacle number 7. Like, that's the prize he would have won if he didn't fall and crack a skull. He said, otherwise, we got a problem here.
So this guy, in true lawyer fashion, didn't care about this kid's health, but was like, I don't know, small wonder would look pretty good on that giant TV in my house. That's terrible.
Well, I guess the kid was okay. It just looked like he snapped his neck. He got back up. He was right as rain. He didn't have to go to the hospital or anything.
Hmm.
So technically, did this kid get hurt? I don't know. His dad just like threatened.
Everything's fishy. Look, they definitely opened the doors to, they invited wackiness into their lives by making Double Dare.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you expect?
From that point on, the producers always looked at the kids' applications, and if any kid had a parent who was an attorney, they never got on the show.
What's your dad do? Oh, what's your mom do? Wow.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
What does he do? That's where the phrase comes from. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised that there weren't more injured children. I really am.
Yeah, it seems low.
When I watched clips before looking up all this stuff, I was like, these are really intense physical challenges. I bet kids really hurt themselves. But I guess the moral is helmets helmets work.
Yeah.
Helmets work.
And they're kids. They kids fall all the time.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
They're fine.
Bounce right back.
Walk it off.
I'll give you something to cry about.
I'll give you something to cry about.
I would pull like my back or something doing these though.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to get up in increments. Like I have to like swing my legs over the bed. I can't just jump out of bed, you know? Like this is I gotta like stretch a little, I gotta heave.
Yeah.
These kids are running up ladders, sliding down chutes.
Chutes.
So in April 1989, production was moved to Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, to bring Double Dare into the Nickelodeon studios. The show would see several new iterations from there: Super Sloppy Double Dare, Family Double Dare, and Super Special Double Dare, with cast members from other Nickelodeon shows competing for prizes.
Well, that's fun.
This week we got Donkey Lips.
Yeah, they did. I think I remember an episode.
Buttnick.
The horse from Hey Dude.
And the horse from Hey Dude. The horse. That's too fair. Yep.
I think I remember an episode where Clarissa explains it all, faced off against the cast from, what was it called? Hey Freshman? Yo Freshman? Something like that. Double Dare concluded on February 7th, 1993, with a one-hour Tournament of Champions episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Reigning champs.
Repeats of Family Double Dare remained on the Nickelodeon schedule until January 31st, 1999.
Wow.
Yeah, they...
Keep it rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Y2K got them.
Y2K, yep. Yep. Yeah, restart your computer. restarted the cable and the Double Dare was gone.
There was GAC inside it.
GAC and it got flubber stuck in the gears.
What's GAC? What is it?
What is GAC?
GAC was Nickelodeon's like only toy, its first toy.
Yeah, but like I remember
it was
buying
like a slime.
It was like It was like slime that
wasn't
slimy.
What was it made of?
I don't know. It was like microbeads. It was like sticky microbeads.
Microbeads, yeah.
Yeah, and it made weird noises when you squeezed it inside the container that it came in.
Yeah, it made fart sounds.
I always appreciated that Nickelodeon didn't really do a lot of merchandise when we were kids. They didn't have a lot of, there wasn't like toys of all their shows. You couldn't buy.
They didn't realize it yet.
They couldn't buy Doug. There was no Doug action figures or anything like that. You had to enjoy Nickelodeon for the content.
Well, they missed out because I would have bought them. I want a pork chop action
comic
figure.
Books, yeah.
Was there an at-home game for Double Dare?
There might have been, but
it just comes with like a government-sized can of baked beans and
Steve draw Petty one Packer card. Yells at you. Put that stuff down.
Yeah, call this number and Mark Summers will scream at you personally. Then they brought it back. They brought it back within like the past 5 to 10 years.
They were doing it like live in Philly a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we should go.
Let's go, and then we'll threaten to sue when we fall inevitably. They had like, because I think there was one where they had Mark Summers was the announcer, and like they had a new girl as the
host.
Yeah,
was that Double Dare 2000?
No, this was like within the past 5 years.
Okay. Yeah, and Mark Summers and. John Harvey have hung around Philadelphia. They've worked on tons of local productions and things like that. They definitely, you know, have a home here in Philadelphia. You hear from them on different projects once in a while.
Mark Summers also hosted Unwrapped, which was a fun show. That was like How It's Made for like Candy on Food Network.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, right.
People still get slimed. I guess slime started on You Can't Do That on Television, I think.
Yeah, it comes from that Canadian show that Nickelodeon reported.
It's still an honor to get slimed.
Alanis Morissette's breakout role.
Wow.
My last thing is a Tony T's Hollywood story. I worked for Harvey, I remembered, on Trading Spaces Kids. And I remember chatting with him, and he told me that he was electrocuted. He was struck by lightning twice in his life, and he told me that both times he barked like a dog. that's what he told me. And I remember it always stuck out to me.
Was that while he was shooting Double Dare he got struck by lightning?
I don't know. He said two different times in his life. We were talking about like getting struck by lightning. I guess it was like raining, and we were like trying to be safe. And he was like, you know, I was struck by lightning. And he told us that story, and I was like, man, that's real weird.
Jeez.
I always think.
He's sniffing too many baked bean fumes.
He may be entitled to a cash settlement.
Yeah.
I also remember he had when Double Dare was spoofed in Mad Magazine, he had like the pages like in his office, and I remember like being at the studio and being like, holy shit.
That's cool.
That's cool.
That's a big deal. If the thing you're doing gets spoofed in Mad Magazine, especially if you're like a comedian like that, I'm sure that's just like.
Man,
quite
I can't remember that. I can't remember that artist's name. He just died a couple years ago. He used to do all like the celebrity, illustrations, for years. I can't think of his name, Zito. Shoot.
I'd have to look.
You're
it
supposed
up.
To go. Oh, this person.
Hold on.
Oh, this guy. You can just edit it so Zito just knows the top of his head.
No. We get
Zito explains it all.
Zito explains it all.
Mort Drucker? You're talking about Mort Drucker?
Yeah.
Just drop that in as an insert like I knew it the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, Mort Drucker.
Mort Drucker. Here, wait. Let me give you one that's more off the cuff. Oh, Mort Drucker? You're talking about Mort Drucker.
Are you talking about Mort Drucker right now?
I thought that was cool. I should have just looked it up before I told that story.
I'm leaving it in. I'm not doing any editing anymore.
No editing this week.
Unless one of us falls.
Legends of Philadelphia, it be.
Unless one of us falls and the bone breaks, goes through our arms, we're not editing it out anymore.
No compa-
Get Bierman.
Only comp- What happened with the episode where the kid broke his arm? Did they air it? Do you think they aired it?
Nah, it's probably in a Maybe. In a vault somewhere, in the Nickelodeon vault with, like, I don't know, like that.
With all their racist cartoons?
Yeah, yeah, with the that Rugrats episode where they all killed each other that never aired.
Or when Doug did blackface. Yeah, those are awful decisions. I don't know why they...
No. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. So that's pretty much all there is to know about Double Dare. Philadelphia is Double
that's
Dare.
That's actually, coincidentally, this is our last episode of Legend of Philadelphia.
We've been canceled.
You started over. You have to cut that out.
You think? Okay.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is.
Doug did it. Well, you didn't do it.
Okay, that's it's Doug. It's not. I didn't do it.
Yes, you don't didn't do it. Doug did it.
Okay, that's pretty much all. I'm just gonna end it. Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about Double Dare, Philadelphia's Double Dare. Please check out our website, www.southphillyinia.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at South Philly everywhere. Did you ever go on Double Dare? Did you know someone who did? Have you...
Did you go to space camp?
Did you ever go to space camp?
Space camp.
Have you ever laid toxic flooring down? We want to hear from
you. Have you ever eaten GAC? What does GAC taste like?
Yeah. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear a mask, helmets, and knee pads, especially if you're doing physical challenges.
Yeah. Bye.